Throw across the middle, pass complete. Ball down at the 35, to the 40, to the 45, to the 50, to the 45, to the 40, to the 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. What did he do? All he did was score. Joey Kent, touchdown on play number one.
Oh, man, that's goosebump stuff right there. Joey Kent joining us, Tennessee Tailgate Show. You can find Joey there right here on 104.5 The Zone, sponsored by MTGRT.com Mortgage. Joey and
Hey, Joey, man. First and foremost, man, you going to the game tomorrow?
I'm not, man. It was a pleasant surprise to see you a couple weeks ago at the Missouri game, man. I didn't have to turn around. I just heard your voice. Like you, I think you were talking to your wife or something, man. And I turned around. I was like, man, that's Blaine. That's Blaine right there, man. It was good to see you, especially in orange, too. I don't get a chance to see Blaine in orange a lot. So I should have taken a picture of you that day.
Yeah, I know. I should have taken a picture of all of us, actually, that day, man. But naturally, they're playing Kentucky, man. Kind of take us through one of your memorable moments versus Kentucky. Because I know you got some, because, you know, you're the all-time leading, receiver in Tennessee history.
Yeah, Blaine. So it was my senior year. And, man, we were down by a couple touchdowns, maybe 17. And I just remember, one thing, we just don't lose to Kentucky. And so I had my college roommate that I came in with. He's from Danville, Kentucky. So, obviously, that game is just extra important to him. So I just remember him coming to the sideline, grabbing me by the face mask, and saying, "You better do something. You better score. You better do something." And I kind of looked at him like, "I can only do so much, but I'm gonna do what I can." And that next series, man, Peyton and I hooked up for a touchdown, and we kind of never looked back for that game, man. But yeah, man, those Kentucky-Tennessee games, even back then, we had a couple blowouts against Kentucky about 4 years, but then we had a couple games that were kind of close that we had to kind of fight and claw. And but that's what that rivalry is all about, is, Kentucky trying to beat Tennessee, and it hasn't happened often a lot. But this game on Saturday, man, it's going to be a true test for Tennessee, because Kentucky, even though they're 1-2, they're a pretty good team, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Offensively, they have some limitations with Terry Wilson, but it's gonna be an interesting game coming up on Saturday.
Well, what would happen, Joey? I know this is gonna be a weird question for you, but what would happen if they're down in Kentucky, Kentucky comes here, then all of a sudden Smokey's missing, and they'll say the UK fans took Smokey, man. What would happen?
I don't know, man. It's been some weird stuff that's been happening. I mean, it truly is a robbery, man. It's a border war. Kentucky, they always come and give Tennessee their best shot, man. And there's some weird stuff that's happened over the years, but, Tennessee always seems like they prevail. I do remember the first time that the Kentucky beat Tennessee when we were doing the Tennessee Tailgate Show, and that was when their starting quarterback got hurt, and they put in their receiver. And we actually had the post game that day, and T. Martin was the receiver's coach. So I called him on the way to the station, and I was like, "Man, can you just jump on the phone and kind of explain what you guys did?" And he jumped on, and he basically said that they ran four different plays with four different formations. So they played a quarterback, only ran four different plays, and beat a Tennessee team. Man, that was probably the lowest point of the Tennessee Tailgate Show as far as live interviews, because we just couldn't believe what we were hearing, man. Hopefully nothing like that happens again. But, yeah, man, this game this weekend is really important for Tennessee.
No doubt about it. I guess I'll ask you one more before I pass back to Mickey, and that is, what matchup are you going to be watching? Who are you going to be watching out there for Tennessee versus Kentucky? Some interesting matchup, you think?
I mean, I love watching Toa Toa play. Obviously my eyes kind of lead toward the receivers. Just kind of seeing what Palmer's going to do to kind of back up his performance from last week. I think they're going to play some, you know, some more freshmen, a few more freshmen this week, just to kind of get them into the rotation. You know, T. Martin's the receivers coach. His rotation has been kind of tight over the last couple of few games, only playing about five guys. I think he's going to loosen that up and he'll get some more speed out on the field. Get some those guys some experience. And obviously, it depends on how the game is going. But I love watching, you know, these young receivers. I love watching Palmer and Brandon Johnson operate and how they've grown over the last year or so.
Joey Kent, UT's all-time receiver.
Absolutely. Joey with the Tennessee Tailgate Show. You can catch him after the game on The Zone on Saturday, mtgrt.com. Mortgage, your live and local mortgage experts making that happen for you. Joey, what was it like playing a team that you can't lose to? Because history says you can't lose to these guys. Now, I know you gave the example, and heck, Kentucky has, I mean, they won the game with the receiver playing against Tennessee, and last year they had Lynn Bowden pretty much playing quarterback the whole year and had a pretty nice season. They seem to do better when their backs are against the wall. But what's it like preparing for a team all week in practice and knowing we can't lose to these guys? We cannot lose.
You know, back when we were playing, we had confidence that we can beat any team that we played. But playing against teams like, you know, Kentucky, you know, you just didn't want to be that team to lose to them, because that's, you know, a team like that will always be a stain on your record. You know, I haven't talked to many guys that on those teams that lost to Vanderbilt or Kentucky, but I'm pretty sure that's something that they don't like to talk about. And, you know, throughout the week, you know, that's in the back of your head. You just don't want to be that team to lose to or to break a streak that significant of, you know, during that time against Kentucky. So that's the main thing, really. I know it's kind of funny to kind of hear that, but you just don't want to be that. You just don't want to be that team. You just don't want to be that guy to make that mistake in a game that might cost your team.
It's interesting to me. Just I lived here. Actually, I had kind of just moved here in the late 90s when the Vols won the national championship, and I had lived down south for my whole life. So obviously I had seen the success that you and your teammates had had, and then that Tennessee had, and then I worked here and I kind of covered the teams that fell on hard times and the coaching changes and everything else. But as Tennessee went through that 8-game winning streak, you know, some were kind of nobody locally really, but maybe some national guys, Joey, were just sort of saying, well, look who they've beaten. Well, look who they've beaten. Well, here's my thing for Jeremy Pruitt. The first part of getting back is just winning all the games that you're supposed to win. And to me, that's the main thing that winning streak said, and a win on Sunday would say, is Tennessee is back to that next step of, okay, they win all the games they're supposed to win.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. And I picked Tennessee to go 7-3. And, you know, this is the game that I picked for them to win. I actually picked, you know, correctly that they would lose against Georgia. So that means we have to either beat, you know, Auburn or Texas A&M, and I picked them to win to beat Florida at the end of the year. So you're right, man. You know, these are the type of games that, you know, you're favored, you're at home, you know, you're coming off a tough loss against a really good Georgia team. These are the games that you have to win to take that next step. And, you know, obviously, if we get this win, we have Alabama next week, and that's going to be a tough one, right? I mean, everybody knows that. We're still not. You know, you saw against Georgia last week, Mickey, that, you know, we have frontline players that can play against anybody or can compete against anybody, but we just don't have the depth. If, you know, if DeAndre Johnson goes out, who do we have behind him? We have a freshman that's playing in the third game that's going to be good. But, you know, back in the past, you know, you might have that freshman that's playing that's just as good as a starter or just right there. So that's the difference. And the Tennessee teams that were dominant in the past and the Tennessee teams now, that you have the really good frontline players. We still don't have the depth, especially on the defensive line, the front seven in general, to really compete against, you know, consistently against Georgia, Alabama, and Florida.
With Joey Kent, former Vol, you mentioned that the front seven. You know, one thing about Kentucky, Joey, they're just going to unpack the running game and try to run it at you all afternoon long. I mean, heck, they ran for 400 and lost to Ole Miss.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about it. I think this favors Tennessee because anytime you have a one-dimensional, even though Terry Wilson, he can throw it, you know what they want to do. They want to get him out on the perimeter. They want to draw, get him outside. I think when you have a one-dimensional team, this is where Jeremy Pruitt is at his best because he can scheme up defenses to kind of force that team to do what they don't want to do. So I anticipate Tennessee coming out and playing well defensively and offensively too. You look at the offensive line, man. You know they got embarrassed. They got whipped last week, and we were singing their praises the first couple weeks of the season. I don't know if they were kind of reading their press clippings or not, or if Georgia's that good or that dominant. But I anticipate the offensive line, offense in general, to come out and be better this week and run the football and control the tempo of the game. And if we do that, if we run the ball, play action a little bit, do some things to kind of help JG get outside the pocket, maybe some screens when Kentucky blitzes. I think we'll come out victorious. But Kentucky is not going to go down without a fight, man. They played well defensively last week with 6 interceptions and holding the air raid offense to 2 points basically. So or they didn't even score. So it's going to be a fun matchup, man. I'm looking forward to it. It's an early game. We have a post game, so get a chance to kind of sit back in the morning and look at all the shows and watch the game and come on and talk about the victory after the game.
Joey Kent on with Blaine and Mickey here on 104.5 The Zone, former Vols receiver.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I guess you were talking about JG. What was your observation in the second half of what JG did or did not do and who was at fault or what could the coaching staff done to actually help him?
Hey, but why are you asking me these loaded questions, man?
I know, man. I got to get 3 of them in, man. Do you remember them all?
No, man. I think in the first half he played okay. Second half he seemed like he was just a second. Like it seemed like he was processing like a half a second too slow, and his pocket awareness wasn't where it should be. Again, I think he could have been helped a little bit by different play calls or rolling them out or screens to kind of subdue that rush and that blitz. But he has to play better. We've seen the good JG, we've seen the okay JG, we saw the not so good JG in the second half of the Georgia game. I just think he needs to just settle down, rely on all of his parents. I mean, he can play, man. He can play. He can play the quarterback position, man. But sometimes I think that when things go bad or a couple negative plays, it kind of gets in his head. He's not able to shake that off and move on to the next play. And for his team, and he's plenty tough, like he's physically tough. I just wanted him to have that same mental toughness when things aren't going so well, or we're down by 10, or we're down by 14, to become that leader of the football team to help his team win. And he can do it, man. It's just we see different facets of JG week in and week out.
Yeah, and it's really frustrating to the fans. But obviously the coaches think he's their best option. I want you to put your coach's hat on right here, and it's just nothing against JG, but it's kind of like, okay, you had the Missouri game in hand and you were out of it in the Georgia game, in the middle of the fourth quarter. You definitely were. Do you think that was a missed opportunity? I don't care what quarterback it was, just to get them some snaps. Do you think they probably should have done that if you kind of asked them if you want to go back? Or do you feel like they would have kind of messed with the mentality and mentally could shake JG if they did that?
No, I think that's a great point, Blaine. We only played 10 games, and hopefully we get all 10 in. We were both at the Missouri game. That game was pretty out of hand, and especially in the fourth quarter, that might have been a good opportunity to get somebody else in. And you brought up last week against Georgia, they charged them out there when the game was over. With the limited amount of games, that those two opportunities, you're never going to get those opportunities back. And obviously the coaches know what they're doing. They have a reason for everything. But I agree, man. That could have been, you know, a couple, at least one missed opportunity for them to get some, you know, another guy out there just to get some experience, man. Because I just, even in a 10-game season, I don't know if JG will take 100% of the snaps, man. That's highly unlikely. And you just don't want a guy that's going to come out there that, even though we have experience in the, you know, the second and third string because they played last year, you don't want that experience to come against Auburn or Alabama or Texas A&M when something were to happen to JG. So I totally agree with you, man, on that one.
Yeah. But defensively, Joey, man, you know, that goal line stand there right before the half was pretty impressive watching it. It brought a lot of excitement. I thought they were going to come out with a lot of energy there. Defense has been solid, pretty good. Probably where would you say that there have been some weaknesses? Seemed like in the passing game in the secondary, which I'm a little surprised because I thought that was going to be their strength. But, you know, it goes hand in hand with pass rush. And you had a guy go down after a knucklehead, you know, play. Accidents happen in game, if we want to call it an accident. But, you know, what do you see, you know, what are you seeing in the defense that you say, hey, we need to get a little bit better at it?
I mean, you're exactly right. You know, you being a safety defensive back, man, if you have a good pass rush, it makes your job a lot easier, right? And we just haven't been getting to the quarterback consistently. What surprised me last week, I guess it didn't really surprise me with Schamberger playing the star position. And, you know, he was, you know, a guy that played really well last year, especially the second half of last year. But the Georgia game was his first game back, and you can tell the rust. And, you know, he had a couple busts. And Alante Taylor didn't necessarily play as well, even though he was pretty solid. I just think, you know, another week of practice, another game under their belt, just being, you know, because it takes time as a unit. You know this, you know, four or five guys back there, communication, tendencies, nuances of, you know, of what you guys want to do as a group back there. I mean, it kind of takes time to gel. And it's kind of hard to gel in practice. You do your best, but you do your most gelling when the live bullets are flying. I think with Schamberger coming back again this week, he's going to kind of lick his wounds from last week, learn from his mistakes, and I anticipate them playing better on the back end.
Well, with yours truly, UT's favorite wide receiver, Joey Kent.
Joey, with the Tennessee Tailgate Show Saturday here on The Zone after the game, sponsored by MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage experts. Let me ask you this, Joey. Even a couple, 3 weeks ago, as football started back, Blaine kept saying, man, it seems like offense is way ahead of defense. Well, I mean, you got Nick Saban and Alabama giving up. What was the number 647 yards of total offense to Ole Miss? Even Alabama is doing it. Why is the offense so far ahead of the defense, even in the NFL right now, Joey?
I just think it comes from the lack of consistency on the practice field, because, you know, you're dealing with this COVID, right? And you have guys that are out, and it just takes time on both sides of the ball. And I think coaches are, you know, as far as their schemes, they, you know, we have some good guys. You got to think about it, man. There's some really good offensive coaches in the SEC now. It's not your SEC that when I played, where, you know, you had a lot of pro offenses, pro style offenses, and, you know, you toss around a little bit. Now, you know, you have Lane Kiffin. It's just so many innovative offensive minds now, and you look at the rules too. It's just, things are different from when I played, and I think I think Blaine would agree with it. There are a lot of advantages for the offense to have more success against defenses, but throwing the lack of practices, spring ball, guys missing, you know, 14, 10 days at a time, I think that all plays its part. But I think it's going to even on out, because, you know, defense is still going to win you championships, man. And, you know, you can put up 40, 42 points like, you know, Ole Miss, you still might lose, because your defense allowed 47 points or 49 points. So it's still going to take defense, and I think it's going to round back out by the end of the season when the games get a little bit tougher and weather turns a little bit. But, yeah, man, I think it's going to turn. But it's so fun for me as an offensive player seeing all these points and different plays and and different offenses, man. It's fun to watch for sure.
Yeah, no doubt.
But absolutely fun to watch. Saw a fun one last night involving my team and another team that played no defense on ESPN, 59-52. Maybe Kentucky and Tennessee will shake out like that on Saturday. We'll see. No matter what happens, Tennessee tailgate show follows the game here on The Zone. Joey Kent and Jason Martin. Joey, thank you for the time today, buddy.
Always good. Always good talking to you guys, man. Y'all have a good one.
All right.
Yes, sir. We keep talking football. Buck Rising talks football with us at 2:15. It's Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone.
The Midday 180 Entertainment.
Yeah, I know. I should have took a picture of all of us, actually, that day, man. But naturally, they're playing Kentucky, man. Kind of take us through one of your memorable moments versus Kentucky, because I know you got some, because, you know, you're the all-time leading, you know, receiver in Tennessee history.
Yeah, Blaine. So it was my senior year, and man, we were down by a couple touchdowns, maybe 17. And I just remember, you know, one thing we just don't lose to Kentucky. And so I had my college roommate that I came in with. He's from Danville, Kentucky. So obviously that game is just extra important to him. So I just remember him coming to the sideline, grabbing me by the face mask and saying, "You better do something. You better score. You better do something." And I kind of looked at him like, "I can only do so much, but I'm gonna do what I can." And that next series, man, Peyton and I hooked up for a touchdown, and we kind of never looked back for that game, man. But yeah, man, those Kentucky-Tennessee games, even back then, you know, we had a couple blowouts against Kentucky. All 4 years, but then we had a couple games that were kind of close that we had to kind of fight and claw. And but that's what that rivalry is all about, is, you know, Kentucky trying to beat Tennessee, and it hasn't happened often a lot. But this game on Saturday, man, it's going to be a true test for Tennessee, because, you know, Kentucky, you know, even though they're 1-2, they're a pretty good team, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Offensively, they have some limitations with Terry Wilson, but it's gonna be an interesting game coming up on Saturday.
Well, what would happen, Joey? I know this is gonna be a weird question for you, but what would happen if they're down in Kentucky, or no, Kentucky comes here, then all of a sudden Smokey's missing, and they'll say the UK fans took Smokey, man? What would happen?
I don't know, man. It's been some weird stuff that's been happening. Cause, I mean, it truly is a rivalry, man. It's, you know, it's a border war. Kentucky, they always come and give Tennessee their best shot, man. And there's some weird stuff that's happened over the years. But, you know, Tennessee always seems like they prevail. I do remember the first time that the Kentucky beat Tennessee when we were doing the Tennessee tailgate show, and that was when their starting quarterback got hurt, and they put in their receiver, and we actually had the post game that day, and T. Martin was the receiver's coach. So I called him on the way to the station, and I was like, "Man, can you just jump on the phone and kind of explain what you guys did?" And he jumped on, and he basically said that they ran four different plays with four different formations. So they played a quarterback, only ran four different plays, and beat a Tennessee team. Man, that was probably the lowest point of the Tennessee tailgate show as far as live interviews, because we just couldn't believe what we were hearing, man. Hopefully nothing like that happens again. But yeah, man, this game this weekend is really important for Tennessee.
No doubt about it. I guess I'll ask you one more before I pass back to Mickey, and that is, what matchup are you going to be watching? Who are you going to be watching out there for Tennessee versus Kentucky? Some interesting matchup, you think?
I mean, I love watching Toa Toa play. You know, obviously my eyes kind of lead toward the receivers. You know, just kind of seeing what Palmer's going to do to kind of back up his performance from last week. I think they're going to play some more freshmen, a few more freshmen this week, just to kind of get them into the rotation. You know, T. Martin's the receivers coach. His rotation has been kind of tight over the last few games, only playing about five guys. I think he's going to loosen that up and, you know, get some more speed out on the field, get some, you know, those guys some experience. And obviously, it depends on how the game is going. But I love watching, you know, these young receivers. I love watching Palmer and Brandon Johnson operate and how they've grown over the last year or so.
Joey Kent, UT's all-time receiver.
Absolutely. Joey with the Tennessee Tailgate Show. You can catch him after the game on The Zone on Saturday, mtgrt.com. Mortgage, your live and local mortgage experts making that happen for you. Joey, what was it like playing a team that you can't lose to? Because history says you can't lose to these guys. Now, I know you gave the example, and heck, Kentucky has, I mean, they won the game with the receiver playing against Tennessee, and last year they had Lynn Bowden pretty much playing quarterback the whole year and had a pretty nice season. They seem to do better when their backs are against the wall. But what's it like preparing for a team all week in practice and knowing we can't lose to these guys? We cannot lose.
Man, you know, back when we were playing, we had confidence that we can beat any team that we played. But playing against teams like, you know, Kentucky, you know, you just didn't want to be that team to lose to, because that's, you know, a team like that will always be a stain on your record. You know, I haven't talked to many guys that on those teams that lost to Vanderbilt or Kentucky, but I'm pretty sure that's something that they don't like to talk about. And, you know, throughout the week, you know, that's in the back of your head. You just don't want to be that team to lose to or to break a streak that significant of, you know, during that time against Kentucky. So that's the main thing, really. I know it's kind of funny to kind of hear that, but you just don't want to be that team. You just don't want to be that guy to make that mistake in a game that might cost your team.
It's interesting to me, just I lived here. Actually, I had kind of just moved here in the late 90s when the Vols won the national championship, and I had lived down south for my whole life. So obviously I had seen the success that you and your teammates had had, and then Tennessee had, and then I worked here and I kind of covered the teams that fell on hard times and the coaching changes and everything else. But as Tennessee went through that 8-game winning streak, you know, some were kind of nobody locally really, but maybe some national guys, Joey, were just sort of saying, well, look who they've beaten. Well, here's my thing for Jeremy Pruitt. The first part of getting back is just winning all the games that you're supposed to win. And to me, that's the main thing that winning streak said, and a win on Sunday would say, is Tennessee is back to that next step of, okay, they win all the games they're supposed to win.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. And I picked Tennessee to go 7-3. And, you know, this is the game that I picked for them to win. I actually picked, you know, correctly that they would lose against Georgia. So that means we have to either beat, you know, Auburn or Texas A&M, and I picked them to win Florida at the end of the year. So you're right, man. You know, these are the type of games that, you know, you're favored, you're at home, you know, you're coming off a tough loss against a really good Georgia team. These are the games that you have to win to take that next step. And, you know, obviously if we get this win, we have Alabama next week, and that's going to be a tough one, right? I mean, everybody knows that. We're still not, you know, you saw against Georgia last week, Mickey, that, you know, we have frontline players that can play against anybody or can compete against anybody, but we just don't have the depth. If, you know, if DeAndre Johnson goes out, who do we have behind him? We have a freshman that's playing in the third game that's going to be good, but, you know, back in the past, you know, you might have that freshman that's playing that's just as good as a starter or just right there. So that's the difference. And the Tennessee teams that were dominant in the past and the Tennessee teams now, that you have the really good frontline players. We still don't have the depth, especially on the defensive line, the front seven in general, to really compete against, you know, consistently against Georgia, Alabama, and Florida.
With Joey Kent, former Vol, you mentioned that the front seven. You know, one thing about Kentucky, Joey, they're just going to unpack the running game and try to run it at you all afternoon long. I mean, heck, they ran for 400 and lost to Ole Miss.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about it. I think this favors Tennessee, because anytime you have a one-dimensional, even though Terry Wilson, he can throw it, you know what they want to do. They want to get him out in the perimeter. They want to draw, get him outside. I think when you have a one-dimensional team, this is where Jeremy Pruitt is at his best. Because he can scheme up defenses to kind of force that team to do what they don't want to do. So offensively too, you look at the offensive line, man. You know, they got embarrassed. They got whipped last week, and we were singing their praises the first couple weeks of the season. I don't know if they were kind of reading their press clippings or not, or if Georgia's that good or that dominant. But I anticipate, you know, the offensive line, offense in general, to come out and be better this week and run the football and control the tempo of the game. And if we do that, we can. If we run the ball, you know, play action a little bit, do some things to kind of help JG get outside the pocket, maybe some screens when Kentucky blitzes. I think we'll come out victorious. But Kentucky is not going to go down without a fight, man. They played well defensively last week with 6 interceptions and holding, you know, the air raid offense to, you know, to 2 points basically. So, or they didn't even score. So, it's going to be a fun matchup, man. I'm looking forward to it. It's an early game. We have a post game, so good chance to kind of sit back in the morning and look at all the shows and watch the game and come on and talk about the victory after the game.
Joey Kent on with Blaine and Mickey here on 104.5 The Zone, former Vols receiver.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I guess you were talking about JG. What was your observation, in the second half of what JG did or did not do and who was at fault or what could the coaching staff have done to actually help him?
Hey, but why are you asking me these loaded questions, man?
I know, man. I got to get 3 of them in, man. Do you remember them all?
No, man. I think in the first half he played okay. Second half he seemed like he was just a second. Like he seemed like he was processing like a half a second too slow, and his pocket awareness wasn't where it should be. I think he could have been helped a little bit by, you know, different play calls or rolling them out or screens to kind of subdue that rush and that blitz. But he has to play better. You know, it's, you know, we've seen the good JG, we've seen the okay JG, we saw the not so good JG in the second half of the Georgia game. I just think he needs to just settle down, rely on, you know, all of his parents. I mean, he can play, man. He can play the quarterback position, man. But sometimes I think it's, you know, when things go bad or a couple negative plays, it kind of gets in his head. He's not able to shake that off and move on to the next play. And for his team, and you know, he's plenty tough, like he's physically tough. I just wanted him to have that same mental toughness when things aren't going so well, or we're down by 10 or we're down by 14, to become that leader of the football team to help his team win. And he can do it, man. It's just we see different facets of JG week in and week out.
Yeah, and it's really frustrating to the fans. But, you know, obviously the coaches think he's their best option. I want you to put your coach's hat on right here, and it's just nothing against JG, but it's kind of like, okay, you had the Missouri game in hand, and you were out of it in the Georgia game, you know, in the middle of the fourth quarter. You definitely don't. Do you think that was a missed opportunity? I don't care what quarterback it was, just to get him some snaps. Do you think they – probably should have done that if you kind of asked them if you want to go back, or do you feel like they would have kind of messed with the mentality and mentally could shake JG if they did that?
No, I think that's a great point, Blaine. You know, we only played 10 games, and, you know, hopefully we get all 10 in. You know, we were both at the Missouri game. That game was, you know, pretty out of hand, and especially in the fourth quarter. That might have been a good opportunity to get somebody else in, and you brought up last week against Georgia. They charged him out there when, you know, the game was over. You know, with the limited amount of games, that those two opportunities, you're never going to get those opportunities back. And, you know, obviously the coaches know what they're doing. They have a reason for everything. And but I agree, man, that could have been, you know, a couple, at least one missed opportunity for them to get some, you know, another guy out there just to get some experience, man, because I just, even in a 10-game season, I don't know if JG will take 100% of the snaps, man. That's highly unlikely. And you just don't want a guy that's going to come out there that, even though we have experience in the, you know, the second and third string because they played last year, you don't want that experience to come against Auburn or Alabama. something were to happen to JG. So I totally agree with you, man, on that one.
Yeah. But defensively, Joey, man, you know, that goal line stand there right before the half was pretty impressive watching it. It brought a lot of excitement. I thought they were going to come out with a lot of energy there. Defense have been solid, pretty good. Probably where would you say that there have been some weaknesses? Seemed like in the passing game in the secondary, which I'm a little surprised because I thought that was going to be their strength. But, you know, it goes hand in hand with pass rush. And you had a guy go down after a knucklehead, you know, play. Accidents happen in game, if we want to call it an accident. But, you know, what do you see, you know, what are you seeing in the defense that you say, hey, we need to get a little bit better at it?
I mean, you're exactly right. You know, you being a safety defensive back, man, if you have a good pass rush, it makes your job a lot easier, right? And we just haven't been getting to the quarterback consistently. What surprised me last week, I guess it didn't really surprise me with Schamberger playing the star position. And, you know, he was, you know, a guy that played really well last year, especially the second half of last year. But the Georgia game was his first game back, and you can tell the rust. And, you know, he had a couple busts. And Alante Taylor didn't necessarily play as well, even though he was pretty, pretty solid. I just think, you know, another week of practice, another game under their belt, just being, you know, because it takes time as a unit. You know this, you know, four or five guys back there, communication, tendencies, nuances of, you know, of what you guys want to do as a group back there. I mean, it kind of takes time to gel. And it's kind of hard to gel in practice. You do your best, but you do your most gelling when the live bullets are flying. I think with Schamberger coming back again this week, he's going to kind of lick his wounds from last week, learn from his mistakes, and I anticipate them playing better on the back end.
Well, with yours truly, UT's favorite wide receiver, Joey Kent.
Joey, with the Tennessee Tailgate Show Saturday here on The Zone after the game, sponsored by MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage experts. Let me ask you this, Joey. Even a couple, 3 weeks ago, as football started back, Blaine kept saying, man, it seems like offense is way ahead of defense. Well, I mean, you got Nick Saban and Alabama giving up number 647 yards of total offense to Ole Miss. Even Alabama is doing it. Why is the offense so far ahead of the defense, even in the NFL right now, Joey?
I just think it comes from the lack of consistency on the practice field, because, you know, you're dealing with this COVID, right? And you have guys that are out, and it just takes time on both sides of the ball. And I think coaches are, you know, as far as their schemes, they, you know, we have some good you got to think about it, man. There's some really good offensive coaches in the SEC now. It's not your SEC that when I played, where, you know, you had a lot of pro offenses, pro style offenses, and, you know, you tossed around a little bit. Now, you know, you have Lane Kiffin. It's just so many innovative offensive minds now, and you look at the rules too. It's just, things are different from when I played, and I think I think Blaine would agree with this. There are a lot of advantages for the offense to have more success against defenses, but throwing the lack of practices, spring ball, guys missing, you know, 14-10 days at a time, I think that all plays its part. But I think it's going to even on out, because, you know, defense is still going to win you championships, man. And, you know, you can put up 40, 42 points like, you know, Ole Miss, you still might lose, because your defense allowed 47 points or 49 points. So it's still going to take defense, and I think it's going to round back out by the end of the season when games get a little bit tougher and weather turns a little bit. But, yeah, man, I think it's going to turn. But it's so fun for me as an offensive player seeing all these points and different plays and different offenses, man. It's fun to watch, for sure.
Yeah, no doubt.
But absolutely fun to watch. Saw a fun one last night involving my team and another team that played no defense on ESPN, 59-52. Maybe Kentucky and Tennessee will shake out like that on Saturday. We'll see. No matter what happens, Tennessee Tailgate Show follows the game here on The Zone. Joey Kent and Jason Martin. Joey, thank you for the time today, buddy.
Always good. Always good talking to you guys, man. Y'all have a good one.
All right.
Yes, sir. Let me keep talking football. Buck Rising talks football with us at 2:15. It's Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone.
The Midday 180 Entertainment.